In sports, in high school basketball last night, the Atlantic girls basketball team let one slip away to start the 2016-17 season at home against Carroll last night. Atlantic led by 10 at the end of the third quarter, but let that lead slip away in a 70-67 loss. The two teams traded the lead back and forth down the stretch. Atlantic up by one before Madison Lingle nailed one of her four fourth-quarter three-pointers to put the Tigers up by one. Catherine Leonard was then fouled on the other end and went to the line for two free throws for Atlantic. She made the first but missed the second, and the ball ended up tied up on a fight for the rebound. A possession arrow belonged to Carroll. They inbounded the ball, ran off about 5 seconds until Atlantic was able to foul sophomore Taylor Moore with 9 seconds left. Moore was playing much of the final quarter with four fouls, knocked down the 1-1 free throws, and pushed the lead out to three. Atlantic had one final three-point heave from Bailey Newell that fell short as time ran out. Atlantic coach Kelly Jewell was disappointed that his team broke down defensively in the fourth quarter and said Carroll found the right moment in the game to get hot.
Early in the fourth quarter, in two possessions, a 10-point lead went down to four or five, and we just stopped contesting shots, and our communication suffered, and our rebounding got worse, too. So, it was just a wave of emotions. They got the hot hand at the right time. We got it early in the third. They got it in the midway in the fourth, and we weren't able to come back and get the swing of momentum our way.
Carroll was led in that win by Lingle with 19 points. Taylor Moore finished with 16. Atlantic was led by Bailey Newell with 18 points and Brooke Newell with 13. Atlantic struggled in the fourth quarter to get out on the hot shooters for the Tigers, and Coach Jewell said they didn't execute the defensive game plan they wanted to.
I don't understand why that happened exactly, but, it shouldn't have been a problem. But we tried to play man in the first quarter, and we couldn't. We couldn't defend the dribble. I thought that was going to be one of our strengths. It was going to be our quickness. We didn't defend the dribble at all tonight, so we had to go to a zone, and give them credit. They hit some shots.
Atlantic doesn't get any time to dwell on the loss. They head to Denison tonight for a tough game against the Lady Monarchs. Coach Jewell knows they'll need to have a short memory to put that tough loss behind them and be ready for another big test.
Well, that's the tough thing. You have the first outing and you have the first game, and there's no time to get together and correct mistakes. We just have to, that's exactly what I told them, is short-term memory. We got to do it all again tomorrow. We can't sit around and feel sorry for ourselves because we lost the game, but we got to go to Denison and try to compete against a pretty darn good Denison team.
We'll have coverage of that game tonight. Chris will have all the action for you here on KJAN. Pregame 7:15. We'll tip it off 7:30 tonight. In other basketball action locally last night, it was Audubon defeating ACGC by a final of 40-27. Boyer Valley beat Maple Valley 62-37. It was Mount Air over Creston 49-39 in girls high school hoops last night. Well, Marcus Foster scored 25 points, and number 12 Creighton had to rally in the second half to beat Mississippi 86-77 in the championship game of the Paradise Jam tournament last night. Kyrie Thomas added 16 points, Toby Hegner had 12, and Justin Patton 11 for the Blue Jays, who trailed by as many as 11 points in the first half and were down 50-40 with 18:44 left in the game. But Creighton began its rally at that point, whittling down the Rebels' lead until tying the score twice, the last at 74 each with 5:45 left. Thomas then put the Blue Jays ahead to stay with his three-point play with 3:40 remaining. That ignited a 12-3 Creighton run to close out the game. Creighton's now 5-0 on the season. Elsewhere in the top 25, fifth-ranked Kansas has played itself into the CBE Classic Final with an easy win over Alabama-Birmingham as Josh Jackson had 22 points and Frank Mason III chipped in with 20. The Jayhawks thumped the Blazers 83-63. Also in the top 25, Kennedy Meeks was 7-for-7 and finished with 20 points and a team-high 10 rebounds as North Carolina hammered Chaminade 104-61 at the Maui Invitational. Also last night, it was ninth-ranked Arizona closing on a 34-16 spurt to win 71-55 over Northern Arizona. Rodney Pryor had 26 points and 10 rebounds as Georgetown earned its first win of the season, 65-61 over 13th-ranked Oregon in the Maui Invitational. Bronson Koenig scored 21 points, and Nigel Hayes added 17 to go with 10 rebounds in number 16 Wisconsin's 74-62 win over Tennessee in the Maui Invitational. And also last night, Northwestern whipped 22nd-rated Texas 77-58 in the Legends Classic semifinals. Well, Kentucky moves into the number one spot in the Associated Press college basketball poll, replacing Duke, which dropped to sixth following its final seconds loss to Kansas in the Champions Classic. The Wildcats, who also beat then number 13 Michigan State in the Champions Classic, received 42 first place votes from the 65-member national media panel in the poll released yesterday. Kentucky was ranked number one for 2 weeks last season. Defending national champion Villanova moved up a spot to second with 21 first place votes following a four-win week that included one at then number 15 Purdue. Indiana, which moved up three places to third, received the other two first place votes. That's the Hoosiers' highest ranking since they were third in the next to last poll in 2012-13. North Carolina moved up a spot to fourth, followed by Kansas, Duke, Virginia, Arizona, Xavier, and Louisville in this week's poll. In college football news, Nebraska coach Mike Riley says the Huskers have a unique situation at quarterback as they prepare for a Black Friday visit to Iowa. Riley says Tommy Armstrong is improving after missing Saturday's game against Maryland with an injured hamstring, and Riker Fife is questionable after he led Nebraska to a 28-7 win over the Terrapins.
Riker actually broke a bone in his left wrist, had surgery, put a pin in it. Will he be able to play? Possibly. We will kind of probably go through the same sort of scenario with him that we're going to go through with Tommy.
Riley hopes Armstrong will be able to return to practice early this week.
He has definitely improved. Will he improve enough for the game? We don't know yet. I'm probably guessing by the end of tomorrow, we'll have a better idea.
Zach Darlington moved from receiver 2 weeks ago and was the backup against Maryland. Riley says he didn't know when asked who would take the first team reps in practice Monday afternoon.
With Riker, with Tommy, we're hoping that they are physically able to play. And then getting Zach ready, I hope that covers it. But we have to have a contingency with that, too.
With the questions at quarterback, a short week, and a game against Iowa, Riley says this will be a test of the Huskers' toughness. He says he believes the fledgling rivalry with the Hawkeyes will continue to grow. We'll have that game for you Saturday, or make that Friday afternoon, 12:30 pregame, and it's a 2:30 kickoff at Kinnick Stadium. The Iowa State Cyclones will close out their season with a three-game winning streak if they can beat West Virginia Saturday. The Cyclones are coming off a 66-10 win over Texas Tech, which Coach Matt Campbell called their most complete effort.
You know, I'm really proud of our senior class. I think those guys staying the course have really allowed us to continue to get better as this season's gone. And then obviously we got one last big challenge left before this season ends.
Junior safety Kamari Cotton-Moya was named the Big 12 Co-Defensive Player of the Week, returning an interception 48 yards for a touchdown in the victory over Texas Tech. The Cyclones are 3-8, and Campbell says his team is now just learning how to win.
Well, I just think winning's really hard. It's hard in Division I football, and you know, for us, we've been on the short end of it. But to be honest with you, I feel like at times we've deserved to be on the short end of it because, you know, you gotta be disciplined. Your Sunday's got to be really good. Your Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday have got to be really good if you want to be successful.
West Virginia's 8-2, and Coach Dana Holgorsen says Iowa State's two-quarterback system is unusual, and they expect a tough game. West Virginia's Big 12 title hopes vanished after a loss to Oklahoma, but Holgorsen expects the Mountaineers to bounce back with a good effort on Saturday. The Oakland Raiders fizzled on offense for three quarters before earning a victory in Mexico City. Derek Carr fired two scoring passes in the fourth quarter as the Raiders rallied to beat Houston 27-20 in last night's NFL game. In baseball news, the Cardinals signed reliever Brett Cecil to a four-year, $30.5 million contract on Monday, filling a massive void in their bullpen following injuries to Zach Duke and Tyler Lyons. Cecil had a .393 earned run average in 36 2/3 innings for the Blue Jays last season. He was slowed by a torn lat muscle but dominated down the stretch, tossing 3 2/3 scoreless innings in the playoffs. Duke is expected to miss all of next season after undergoing Tommy John surgery, and Lyons has had off-season knee surgery that leaves him questionable for the start of the regular season. That deal for Cecil leaves an outfielder as the biggest hole remaining on the St. Louis roster. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Atlantic Medical Center Pharmacy. For all of your pharmaceutical needs, stop by your Atlantic Medical Center Pharmacy, your Health Mart provider. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.